Welcome to Faith Out Loud Canada, sharing the Christ who cares together through practical Bible teachings. This is your host, Dan Purdy, connecting you with the pastoral staff and leadership team of Church in the Valley in Langley, British Columbia. Over the next 30 minutes, listen as inspirational speakers apply key Bible passages, parables, and stories to your modern life. Learn to enjoy God's never-ending love for you and to daily accept His greatest gifts. This brief time together will fill you with hope and confidence while teaching you to live your faith out loud. Today's presentation is a continuation of Courage for Everyday Living, focused on Joshua 1, 6 through 8. Join us now as lead pastor Dr. David Jamieson begins sharing the Christ who cares together through Faith Out Loud Canada.
You're afraid of some things. I'm afraid of some things. Everybody is afraid of something. In fact, many of us are afraid of many things. But the second secret to developing courage in your life is to face your fears and to walk through them. And so Joshua had to say to himself, Moses anointed me to be his successor, and now he is gone. I have to step up to the plate. I have to rise to the calling and the challenge. I need to face my fears and walk through them. You know, there's an amazing thing about facing your fears. Every time you face your fears, every time you confront them, you diminish those fears. Every time you overcome a fear through courage, you are sounding the death knell of that fear. Billy and Jake were out playing in their neighbor's backyard. And there was a large Great Dane chained in the backyard. He wasn't a very friendly dog. He barked. They would run up to the chain, and the chain only came so far, and so they felt secure. And they continued to play. The dog didn't pay much attention, but every time that the ball went close enough, they would go up and pick it up. He growled. Billy was 10. His little brother Jake was 6. Mom and Dad knew that they were playing in the backyard. And all of a sudden, they began to hear screams. They'd heard the boys carrying on before and fighting with each other before, but this was different. Now they were hearing shrieks. Dad quickly got up from the television that he was watching and ran outside, and all he saw was Billy holding his arm, and his arm was mangled and bleeding, and he knew, oh boy, we're off to the hospital again. He took Billy to the hospital, and while they were there, Jake, through his sniffling and his crying and all of his upsetness, began to tell the story of how he had run into where the dog was to get the ball and had run just a little bit too close, and the dog had grabbed a hold of him. But Dad had always told Billy, when you play with your brother Jake, I've heard this before and maybe you have, you make sure you take care of your younger brother. Don't let anything happen to him or else. You ever heard that? He was afraid of dogs. He didn't go near that dog. He wasn't crazy enough to do that. He stayed as far away as he could. But now the dog had Jake in its grasp. Without thinking, Billy ran up behind the back of that dog and put a headlock on it. And he shook it, and he began to ride it like a horse through the yard. And little Jake was able to get away. But now Billy was there with the dog still on its back, and what was he going to do? He quickly let go of the headlock and began to run to get out of the yard, and the dog grabbed him by his arm and began to mangle it. And he needed surgery. Jake always thought that Billy was a good brother. But now he looked at him as someone who was courageous, someone who was able to face his fears and to walk through them. If you want to have courage in your life, you need to face your fears, whatever they may be, and you need to walk through them. There's a third secret this morning for having courage for everyday living, and that is to develop a habit of spontaneous obedience. To develop a habit of spontaneous obedience. Notice what it says in verse 7. It says, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the laws my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." Do you realize that in order to have courage for everyday living, you have to have a profound sense of purpose? You do. That is what motivates you to carry on. Secondly, you have to face your fears and walk through them. And thirdly, you have to develop a spontaneous habit of obedience. It means you can't think about your fears. You've got to act on them right away, because if you begin to think about your fear for too long, what happens? You begin to backtrack from it and you say, "No, I can't go on that ride. I can't do that. I can't. I don't think. Another time." We need to develop a spontaneous habit of obedience in our lives. You see, all that stood between God's people and God's promises was their obedience. All that stood between them and God's promises was their obedience. And Joshua began to realize that God is setting the agenda for my life, and I should do one thing. I should go about immediately being busy in obedience. Joshua began to realize that partial obedience is an oxymoron. Joshua began to realize that God calls for total obedience. He began to realize that God was not going to look the other way if he disobeyed. He was a leader of the people. And even though he was a leader, the same principle applies for you and for me. God will not look the other way. He is looking for Christians who will enter into a covenant relationship with him. He is looking for people who are awed by who he is and therefore have a profound sense of accountability to him in their lives. God is looking for people who will enter into a relationship, not into a religion. God is looking for people who will obey what he asks them to obey in his word. Good intentions, rededications, resolutions are not the things that build our lives. Our lives are built on a daily determination to do what God says he wishes for us to do in our lives. Have you ever wondered what it is that God has called you to do? Have you ever wondered what it is that God has called you to be obedient to? All we have to do is to meditate on the scriptures day and night, and we will know clearly what it is that God wants us to do. When we obey God, when we're reading the scriptures, he takes the guesswork out of leadership. He takes the guesswork out of the direction that the church should go in the future. He takes the guesswork out of our daily lives, and he promises that you and I will be prosperous and successful if we will immediately act on what he says and be obedient. Courage for everyday living. You need to have a profound sense of purpose. You need to face your fears and walk through them. You need to develop a habit of spontaneous obedience. And fourthly, you need to celebrate your failures. God said, and notice he said three times in four verses, "Be strong and courageous," because he knew that Joshua needed to hear those words. And so this very third time that he says it, he says, "Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Do not be overcome with fright. Do not be overcome with a fear of failure. You know, many people in their lives today do not accomplish the things that they would like to accomplish because they have a fear of failure. They have a fear of making a mistake, of looking foolish. Joshua began to realize that he needed to celebrate his failures. 40 years ago, he and Caleb had gone into the promised land with 10 other spies. 40 years ago, they came back with the report that the land is flowing with milk and honey. 40 years ago, they came back with clusters of grapes and figs and pomegranates and all the other abundance of the land. And the people began to rejoice at their report. They began to believe, but then the 10 spies, who were not wimps, by the way, the 10 spies who were leaders in their own right, chosen as representatives, one from each tribe, these 10 tribes' leaders began to say, yes, the land does flow with milk and honey. And yes, the clusters of grapes and pomegranates and figs and all these things are huge. But there are also huge giants in the land and walled cities and enemies of all kinds. We can't do it. We cannot go up and possess the land. Joshua and Caleb had a choice to make at that time. They had to determine whether they were going to fall in line with these older men. Joshua was the youngest of the 12 spies. Who was he to share a different report than that which had been shared by the other 10? And as they began to speak and to try and sway the nation of Israel to go in and possess the land, the people picked up stones to stone them. And Joshua could have gone along with the fearful attitudes of the influential leaders, but no. He chose to remain true to his conviction that God had spoken, that God had spoken and poured out his message like rain, and that God had allowed his eyes to be opened to see his majesty and the plan that he had for the nation of Israel. And you know something, 40 years later, he still stood true to that conviction. He had learned to celebrate the failure. He had learned to learn from the failure and to move forward. And if you and I want to have courage in our everyday lives, we have to do the same. We're going to make mistakes. We are going to fail. And we must celebrate the failures and move forward. The fifth secret for courage for everyday living is never giving up. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9 says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. If there was ever a reason to be discouraged, I would say 40 long years of wandering around in the wilderness is a reason to be discouraged. Wouldn't you say that? If there was ever a reason to be discouraged, it's when people pick up stones to stone you at the beginning of the 40 years, and then when you come to the end of the 40 years, they're still doubtful as to whether they can go up and possess the land. But somehow Joshua had grown through the years, and he was now an old man. And he had grown to understand that if you are going to accomplish something great for God, that you will always experience opposition and obstacles. Dwight L. Moody said, if you're going to do a great work for God, then expect opposition. General Ulysses Grant said, no man should ever win a victory if he is not willing to run the risk of defeat. And Winston Churchill, with his famed commence addressment at Harrow, the school that he attended in England after he became prime minister, they invited him back to the school that he nearly flunked from to give the commencement address. And he gave the most significant and most different commencement address that the school has ever heard before or since. He stood at the podium and he simply spoke three words. You know the words. What were they? Never give up. And then he paused. And then he spoke the words again. Never give up. And then he paused even longer. And he spoke the words again. Never hear his voice. Give up. And then he sat down. He had given a commencement address on the subject of discouragement. And he was an authority because he had lived a life of courage and had overcome all the discouragement of personal challenges and all the discouragements of war. My friend, never give up. This morning, as a church congregation, we stand on the verge of making some decisions for the future. Wednesday evening, we invite every single person to come. We're looking at some options that we want you to consider, and we're asking for over 200 people to come to this business meeting. The last time we had 130. I would like for over 200 people to come to the business meeting. You see, when a leader stands before the people, he has to have a strong sense of purpose. And I believe that God has given me a strong sense of purpose. I believe he's given you that strong sense of purpose. And that is to share the Christ who cares with lost men and women and boys and girls in Aldergrove, Abbotsford, Langley, and beyond. And I believe that God wants us to face our fears and to walk through them. Yes, there are going to be challenges ahead, but he has a plan. And I believe that we need to stop wandering around in the wilderness. We've been doing it for 2 years already. And the time has come to immediately act upon what God has called us to do. As we open up the scriptures and read them, we know that the gospel commission is there for us to go into all the world, to go and to reach out to people and to help them move along in their spiritual journey that they can enter the promised land. I believe that God wants us to celebrate our failures and to learn from them and to move forward, never giving up. And I'm not sure exactly what God has in mind, but I do know that as a leader, that a principle of leadership is to courageously stand before people and to blow a certain trumpet call. And I believe that we need to continue moving forward in faith and in courage, and that we need to begin to believe that we are going to see over 100 new believers join our congregation in 2006 and the first quarter of 2007, and therefore we have to prepare for that. The vision that I believe that God has laid on me is the following. I believe that God wants us to expand our thinking, that he wants us to reach out in even greater ways. We can do so by expanding our facility here, or we can do so by moving into another facility. I picture of a facility wherever it is that is a facility that can seat 1,000 people. I see us moving to 2 services and beyond. I see us having a facility that maybe has theater seating where everyone has their own seat to sit in. I see a facility that has a community services center that is respectable, a community services center with clothes on the racks and food on the shelves. I'd like to see the breakfast program grow and our chip program go. I'd like to see the evangelism of our church continue to explode in growth. But I believe we need to be willing to go where the people are. I need us to be able to realize that that's our commission, to fish where the fish are. that we can do great things for God, that we can go up and possess the land if we choose. The only thing that is between us and God's promises is our obedience. I believe that we need a Seventh-day Adventist church that is impacting our society here in the Fraser Valley like none has ever done it before. And unfortunately, you may say, he actually believes that. I believe that. And the sad thing about it is I can reach out and grab it and pull it in. I wish it was much more of a faith step than what we've made it out to be. And so I'm asking you to meditate on the scriptures day and night over the next 11 days. I'm asking you to make this a matter of prayer, that God will lead us and he will lead us together in unity to accomplish a courageous thing for him, a great thing for him in Alder Grove, Langley, Abbotsford, and beyond. We can do it. We just have to choose to courageously step forward in faith. This morning I'd like to close with the story of Susan. Susan made her way onto the bus. She carefully stepped up the three steps to get to the bus, and the bus driver noticed her white cane, and he moved his leg out of the way so that she could get by, and he noticed her tapping it on the bus all the way back to a seat on the bus. You see, 1 year earlier, Susan, at the age of 34, was misdiagnosed and as a result of an accident became blind. And her whole life was turned upside down. She was twisted in knots. She began to feel self-pity and she was afraid for the future. The only thing that she could cling to was her husband, Mark. And he tried to help her through the ordeal and he said, "Honey, take some time off. And when you're ready, I'll help you to get back to work." The time finally came almost a year later when she decided that she was ready to go back to work. And he said, "Honey, I will drive you to work every day and I'll pick you up every day." Now, Mark was a part of the Air Force. And his job was at one end of the city and Susan's was at the other. And so he did it for a while, but it just didn't work out. He was always late to get her to work. He was late to pick her up. There was too much traffic. It wasn't working. And he said, "Honey, you're not going to enjoy what I'm about to say, but if you're going to continue working, you're going to have to take the bus again." And she said, "What do you mean? I'm blind. I can't go out there into the world by myself. Something will happen." He said, "Honey, I'm sorry. You're going to have to take the bus." He said, "Here's what I'll do. For the next week, I will get on the bus with you." He said, "I'll help you to get used to your environment." He said, I'll assist you in any way I can. I'll talk to the bus drivers so that they know that this is the route that you'll be taking every day and that you're blind and that they need to help you wherever they can. I'll do whatever I can to help you." And so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, he did that. Monday rolled around and he said, "Honey, are you ready to do it on your own?" And she said, "Yes." She threw her arms around him as if he was everything to her, and he was her best friend through this ordeal. And so she walked out of the house and down the stairs and into the street and over to the bus stop with her white cane. She got on board the bus. She went to work. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, she was doing just fine. On Friday, she was getting off the bus to go into her office, and the bus driver said, "Lady, I envy you." She wasn't sure if he was speaking to her or not, but she turned and said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Lady, I envy you that someone would protect you like that." She said, "What? What are you talking about?" He said, "Lady, don't you know? Every day when you get off this bus to go into work, there's a man standing across the street over there in an Air Force uniform. And he's watching you, making sure you get off the bus safely. And he makes sure that you make it into your office building safely. And just as you open the door to go in, he blows you a kiss and he salutes. You're a lucky lady. You know, our God is just like that. No matter what comes our way in life, He calls us to be courageous. He calls us to remember that we have a profound sense of purpose in our lives when we're connected to Him, that we can face our failures when we're connected to Him, we can walk through them, that we can develop an instantaneous habit of obedience, that we can celebrate our failures and whatever tragedies may come our way, and that we are to never give up. Because just when we need Him most, Jesus is there to comfort and cheer. Just when we need Him most. I invite you to enter into this week as a courageous church, because we don't have to do it alone. Jesus will be there with us just when we need Him most.
The preachers are weary, the singers are tired. The church, as we know it, is losing its fire. Some are discouraged from bearing the load, but we must determine to keep pressing on. 'Cause if just one more soul were to walk down the aisle, it would be worth every struggle, it would be worth every mile. A lifetime of labor is still worth it all if it rescues just one more soul. So preachers, keep preaching, and singers, go sing. Laymen, keep sharing that Jesus is King. The angels have gathered, they're surrounding the throne, and they'll start rejoicing for just one more soul. 'Cause if just one more soul were to walk down the aisle, it would be worth every struggle, it would be worth every mile. A lifetime of labor is still worth it all if it rescues just one more soul. So just one more soul were to walk down the aisle, it would be worth every struggle, it would be worth every still worth it all if it rescues just one more soul. A lifetime of labor is still worth it all if it rescues just one more soul. If it rescues just one more soul.
What an inspirational and timely presentation from lead pastor, Dr. David Jameson. We certainly hope that today's message demonstrated God's powerful love for you and encouraged you to seek a deeper relationship with Him. Perhaps you are struggling with something in your life with which you need help. It could be your finances, your job, a relationship. Perhaps it's an addiction or something else that you're concerned about. Don't miss the opportunity to call on Jesus to help you. The pastoral staff and leadership team at Church in the Valley can help you have a dynamic, personal relationship with God and show you how to be of service to others in your community. Check out our free online resources at churchinthevalley.ca. Our popular audio and video archives are only a click away. This is your host, Dan Purdy, thanking you for sharing the Christ Who Cares together with us. Until next time, share your faith out loud, Canada.